from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I would think so, because well, the guy slumped big time, even though he's got another year of control left.
The Taylor Ward we've heard about lately is very much on the margins.
But
Chisholm,
I think the Pirates,
Robert Jr., and Rooker are not on the margins.
I think the Pirates have also taken note of Ward's hellacious slump, because Jim Bowden wrote today that he has not heard about Ward and the Pirates lately.
God, Zeiss might have killed that one dead.
Yeah. Yeah, ever since Paul said it was on the precipice of happening, it's gone up in flames.
Well, it sounds like that's a good thing. We should be thanking Paul for it.
I agree. Next time you see Paul at the casino, shake his hand and say thank you.
In fact, that could be right now if you head down there. I mean, you hear bad on the margins, though. Before you say anything else, what's your first reaction to that? They could acquire some bats on the margin.
I think of low risk, low reward guys. That's what I think of. I think
how much better is a bat on the margin than Jack Sawinski right now?
Not much better, because Sawinski could hit 10 home runs in August for all we know. I'm not betting on it, but he's that type of player where it could happen.
Would he get to stand on second base and get slow pitch thrown to him for that?
I think of Connor Joe as a guy that's an on-the-margins hitter.
Well, no, Connor Joe's only an on-the-margins hitter if you extend him past what we know he can do. If you just say, hey, Connor, there's a lefty pitcher going today. We want you to hit. You're in. He's like, he hits it like a borderline all-star.
He's also great in April and...
After he's like
that,
a reverse.
So
he's reverse LaRoche.
So could add bats on the margins while, and then this is the next line, while trading Bailey Falter and Aroldis Chapman.
He also mentioned, though, that it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility for them to at least consider, although they'd want more in return, something for Colin Holderman or David Bednar.
That was the next thing I was about to bring up.
That's the crazy one.
All of it sounds like more subtracting than adding. It doesn't sound like the additions and subtractions like give you a net positive or a zero, where they cancel each other out.
It would have to be, the only way they would equal out is if you might be subtracting two players for one who is clearly better than two. You'd have to be dealing from an area.
But that's not what he's reporting here. He's saying on the margins.
Yeah, well,
on the margins, hitters are not better than Falter, Chapman, and potentially Holderman or Bednar.
Bailey better than on the margins. I know Bailey Falter is like probably a league average starter when all is said and done, like bog standard starting pitcher in Major League Baseball.
But he's also left-handed.
Yeah, but forget about whether
he's
left-handed.
Which I think makes him more attractive is my point.
It does. But even an average innings-eating starter in Major League Baseball, a guy that you can trust most nights to give you between 5 and 6 innings and maybe throw a 7-inning game for you every so often and have the capability of looking pretty good, should be more than an on-the-margins bat in return.
I don't think that Passan is the type of guy that BSs. I don't think he's the type of guy that just makes stuff up. He has risen to the point where he is baseball's biggest insider. I'm not gonna slam his reporting or say he's wrong. If this is honestly, if everything he's hearing inside baseball and inside the Pirates is that this is their strategy or this is their trade deadline philosophy, trade deadline approach, you name it, then they are lost if that's true. They're not reading the room at all. If they think that, he said they're focused as much on the future as the present, It sounds like it's even more future focused than it is right now. If you're thinking about flipping your late inning bullpen guys, I mean, those are the types of moves that you make when you are not serious about contending. Yeah, because you think, well, we can find late bullpen arms anyways. We had Mesa, Joel Hanrahan, and Mike Williams going to All-Star games when we sucked.
The only thing I can think of is maybe they don't feel like they need the lefty-righty-righty combination that they have with Chapman.
It's still making your team worse, Chris.
Would they say Majinski's coming on and we feel like we have an even swap there?
Okay, but it's, yeah, they can, but it's still making your team worse.
I know. My biggest issue with the idea of we're going to be future-focused is you have no earthly idea what the future is actually going to look like. You think you do. You think you know what these next 2, 3, 4 seasons should look like, but should and will are two very different things.
I mean, Nesbitt, who wrote in The Athletic, formerly of the Post-Gazette, who now writes and I think covers baseball for them globally, he was asked to predict what the Pirates would do at the deadline. And he did say, he said, this is not a bold prediction. The Pirates are not going to swing big, and I refuse to pretend that they will. Then he says, that doesn't mean they'll sit on their hands, and this is the most interesting part of what he wrote. The Pirates might make more moves than any team out there.
But they'll just be...
Which speaks to what...
deck chair moves?
Well, which speaks to what Passan is saying. If you're not adding or subtracting and you're trying to thread a needle... Maybe you make 3 trades that help you this year and next year and make 3 more that are about 2025, 2026, and 2027.
I feel like if that happens, people are not going to be happy.
Even
if the moves that help you this year objectively do, like they find a bat that's somebody that we all can agree on is good, it'll feel hollow because you'll say, well, they took away from this
Chris,
team.
After the 2010 season where they lost over 100 games, the next trade deadline, they did not give up the farm to get either guy, but they added Derek Lee and Ryan Ludwig. Those guys were rentals.
For a team that was clearly flagging at that point, but they still tried to add.
And Ludwig didn't hit for crap, but they acquired 2 legitimate major league bats to try to help make that team better. And they didn't try to split the baby and King Solomon it at the deadline. They just went for it. Not big. They didn't go all in, but they made a bet on that team.
I'm not even sure people here want to see them go all in. They just want to see obvious additions be made. If you found...
This complicated, convoluted strategy does nothing for me.
Well, it just makes me think there's no way that they're going to come out of it with that many moving parts better for it.
Well, this gets back to what someone said to me over the weekend about the Pirates. This person said, I honestly think they're treating 2024 like it's a bonus year.
Hathorn called it with me bonus weeks year. Ago. He called it like they view it like 2012. Not the same regime, obviously, but we're a year away. Stop. You have Paul Skeens right now. I think he's going to get even better, but there's always the chance the league adjusts a little bit to him, and maybe he's not what he looks like right now, which is the best pitcher in baseball. Act like you have these things. Gentile loves to say this about the Penguins. They got the golden goose. They got Crosby. They got basically gifts, and they at least tried year after year.
If that's 2012 all over again, that team did something that was about winning, too. They traded for Wandy Rodriguez. Again, it didn't work. But
it was a very high-profile acquisition.
And
in
he
terms
wasn't
of cost.
A cheap guy either,
no,
exactly.
That's what I mean. He was making like $13 million. This is the team. It's not as good top to bottom as 13, 14, or 15. But differently than those teams, this team has the 2015 equivalent of Jake Arrieta at the top of its rotation. I actually think this team has probably as good a chance as the 15 or 14 teams did to make a deep run, provided those teams had merely gotten by Bumgarner and Arrieta.
Provided they get hitting to help, yes, I agree. I don't think they're going anywhere with their current lineup, but if they get a couple of bats, if you get Brent Rooker, I think you can compete for a World Series title, and I don't say that.
Well, because your middle of the lineup suddenly looks like Reynolds, Rooker, Cruz.
But trying to add 2 hitters on the margins and then flipping your closer, maybe your setup man, and possibly even your closer?
I read Passan as saying, though, either or, that it's not going to be Holderman and Chapman or Bednar and Chapman, that it's be it Aroldis Chapman or... the options who would require a bigger return.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.